In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Keep your eye on the prize. You've likely heard this phrase before. It means to remain focused on a particular goal or reward, especially when the path to it is long or arduous. A few weeks ago, on Septuagesima Sunday, we heard St. Paul exhort his listeners to run so as to win, to strive for the incorruptible crown, the crown of eternal life, awaiting all who die in the state of grace. His words were meant to ignite a fire within us, to remind us of the great race we all must run in our spiritual lives. And now, Lent has begun. We are in the midst of that race, and it is exhausting. That is why we need renewed encouragement to remember what we are running for. In today's Gospel, we hear of our Lord's transfiguration, an event preceded by a significant promise. Just before this moment, Jesus had told his disciples the hard truth: following him is no easy task. "If any man would come after me," he said, "let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Yet, as a consolation, he reassured them. "There are some standing here," he said, "who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The privileged witnesses of this promise's fulfillment were Peter, James, and John. These three disciples saw Christ manifest the brilliance of his glory, his face shining like the sun, his garments, rendered dazzling white. Yet, for all its splendor, what they saw was not God himself, but merely a glimpse of his glory. As God had told Moses, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." Why then did Jesus reveal his glory to men? He wanted to show them the prize. He wanted them to keep their eyes fixed on it. Just days before, he had told them something deeply troubling, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Not only that, but if they wish to be his disciples, they too must take up their crosses. By revealing his transfigured state, Jesus gave them a foretaste of the glory that awaited them if they remained faithful. It was a glimpse of heaven beyond human imagination. Before such radiance, who wouldn't echo Peter's words, "Lord, it is good for us to be here"? It is natural to desire what is good, especially the ultimate good, God himself. The problem was that Peter wanted to stay there. He wanted to build three tents, as if to make that moment of glory permanent. Why bother going on preaching the kingdom of God, for it is now in its glory? Why the nonsense about going to Jerusalem to be crucified? The Venerable Fulton Sheen reflects on this temptation, saying, "Moments come in the history of the church where, like Peter, the church wants glory. No penance, no combat, no more lashes under God's correcting hands. Some followers of Christ want only raptures, but no more harassing details. An Easter without a Good Friday." And these words about capturing glory without a cross were spoken in the same scene where our Lord discoursed on his death. Indeed, if we turn to St. Luke's account of the Transfiguration, we find that as Moses and Elijah spoke with the transfigured Christ, they came to speak of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. And so even in this moment of dazzling glory, the cross remained at the center. Now, as we enter the second week of Lent, some of us may find that our Lenten practices are going well. Perhaps we are making real progress in overcoming faults, growing in virtue, and deepening our prayer life. Others may find Lent difficult, perhaps struggling to remain faithful to the resolutions made at the very beginning. God sees our souls exactly as they are, our successes and failures, our joys and worries. Sometimes in his goodness, he grants us a moment of consolation, a spiritual, sensible sweetness that strengthens us, just as he strengthened the disciples with the vision of his glory. These moments encourage us, helping us persevere. St. Francis de Sales teaches that while it is a great thing to have spiritual sweetnesses, the sweetest of all is to know that it is the loving parental hand of God which feeds us heart, mind, and soul with them. He goes on to explain why God grants us such consolations, to make us kinder one to another and more loving towards him, obeying him, keeping his commandments, doing his will, heeding his wishes. When we receive these consolations, it is fitting to respond as Peter did. Lord, it is good for us to be here. We should thank God for his gift. But if we do not receive them, if our Lent feels dry, if our prayer remains difficult, if our resolutions still feel burdensome, we should still thank God, for he knows what is best for our souls. We must resist, dear faithful, the temptation to build tents around moments of spiritual comfort, clinging to the feeling rather than to God himself. Instead, we must renew our commitment to our Lenten journey, pressing forward toward the cross, which is our hope and our salvation. Only through the cross will we reach the God of all consolation, rather than settling for the fleeting consolations of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.